B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Otani. It's pulled into the shift. Arroyo's there, and the Red Sox win. Ottavino handles Otani, and the Red Sox have won 10 of their last 11.
We're talking baseball.
Hey, happy July 6th, everybody. Woo! Beadle and McCone here today.
Welcome back.
Well, yes, thank you. Welcome back. The Red Sox are pretty good. Got to admit. Put that on a t-shirt, Carrabas. The Red Sox are good. He probably already has that.
100%.
I think that was a shirt at one point in time. The Red Sox are a good team. I'm a little bit surprised that they are as good as they are. I am. And I'm starting to actually believe in the Red Sox. I'm starting to believe that despite my biggest concern about them, which is their depth in the starting rotation, that despite that issue of theirs, which I think will be a bit of an issue, and they can address it, and we'll get to more on that. But I'm starting to believe that they're going to be a legitimate contender. Come playoff time.
It's got a 2013 vibe to it, right?
Oh, it totally
Where you're like,
does.
This team isn't good, right?
And there are guys that are playing way over their freaking skis on this team. But we'll accept it because it keeps happening. You're right. I'm sorry I cut you off.
No, you nailed it. It's one of those things where like these guys aren't that good. And now all of a sudden you're like, wait a second. They have 53 wins or 54 wins now.
Right.
This team's actually really good.
There's a couple of things that have driven this. And a big part is the middle of their lineup, which has performed. More on J.D. Martinez coming, by the way. I have an admission to make on that. But it's Bogarts, it's J.D. Martinez, it's Rafael Devers, who is playing to his potential offensively and defensively, I will add. And everyone will credit Alex Cora for that. But it's the middle of their lineup, which has consistently performed, which has hit the hell out of the ball in a year that the league average has plummeted. They've performed all year long. So their statistics, which Tony Maserati has kindly put together at 98.5thesportshub.com, combined, those three guys are 303 with 51 home runs. And if you're still into the antiquated RBI stat, they have 175. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
We're not even at the All-Star break. The bullpen has been ridiculous. This has been the point that I kept making over the last month. They said their bullpen is what's their saving grace because at the end of games, it's what's allowed for all these comeback wins that they've had, but it's also protected small leads when their starters can't go deep. And that's happened, it feels like, too many times. It feels like it's happened a few times here in the stretch that they've gone, which has just been a tear over the last couple of weeks. So that's been a big part of it. And I got to say, they're a fun team to watch. It feels like people are getting back into the Red Sox just a little bit. Now, they're benefiting because there's nothing else happening locally.
Nothing, yeah.
This is the dead months of the calendar. So the Red Sox have all the eyeballs. The ratings, I'm assuming, are pretty good. And people are into them. I find them to be a likable team. And I think the exciting part of them are guys that come out of nowhere and play again well over what they are.
They're playing above what they are. You apparently can't run on this outfield no matter who's out there. J.D. Martinez throwing out someone at the plate. What was that, Saturday night?
Trade away. J.D. Martinez throw was
like,
amazing.
What?
By the way, the guy threw a freaking strike.
Yeah.
And he sucks in the outfield. And that to me is just the sign of, you know, some of that just comes down to pure like drive and effort and that type of thing.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Because he is not a skilled outfielder. That is JD Martinez willing himself to make that play because he needed to, because he's not usually capable of doing that.
Absolutely not. No.
But this team has some balls. I think they fight. They play hard. I think they like one another. I think that team chemistry thing, if you will, which many times can be overrated, I think that it sort of matters a little bit here in that, not that they all get along and like each other.
Right.
Because that can happen on a bad team. The Chicken and Beer Red Sox, they all loved each other. They were having a grand old time.
A little too much.
Back there, you know, boozing up and eating the bags of chicken from Popeyes. They all liked each other. It didn't mean anything. But, I mean, they have the chemistry. They have sort of that combined character, if you will. They play hard. This team plays hard.
How much do you
put on? You can see it. You can see them play hard.
How much do you put on Alex Cora in terms of
the turnaround? A lot.
Yeah.
I do. And I was and I admit, I was completely against them bringing him back. But in terms of establishing a culture, Alex Cora has proven on multiple occasions he's damn good at doing that. In fact, I think it's his biggest asset. It's why you want him as manager. Because in that game they lost the other night, I'm not sure he managed the bullpen perfectly there.
Nope.
Right? I think many times this season we've watched him mismanage the bullpen. I think it's one of his problems. But I think it doesn't matter because he overcomes that with a team that plays his balls off. I mean, so, you see it.
I'm with you, too. I really didn't think being a manager in Major League Baseball really mattered that much anymore because of just how analytic-driven this whole thing is. But in terms of establishing the culture and getting guys to buy in, I'm with you. I think he's really one of the big differences this year.
I think one of the things you look at, too, long-term, this is not related to this year, but Xander Bogaerts has the opt-outs coming up. And I feel like a year ago, Xander Bogaerts was feeling pretty down about being a member of this team. About how is the team sort of rewarded me for taking a team-friendly deal, which he did. I'm sorry, but his contract was undoubtedly a team-friendly deal. Provided security for him, provided $120 million guaranteed if you were to play it out. But that was a very team-friendly deal, and he gave the Red Sox a break. And I feel like at this point last year, granted it was a shortened season, it was a disaster coming off the Alex Cora scandal with the Astros, and then also here, I feel like he was sort of down on being a member of the Red Sox, and a year later, I feel like he can only feel good about the experience.
Isn't that the Red Sox experience as a whole, though, over the last 20 years?
The roller coaster
there's
is
just,
up and down.
There's no, you look at the Patriots and kind of the culture and the program they have set up. Like you said, every year, it's a totally different experience when it comes to the Boston Red Sox. It's ridiculous.
So I'm hoping that he looks at it and thinks to himself, okay, we're back. We're on our way to building something. Alex Cora is the guy that I want to play for. Yeah. I'm hoping that this season is going to sort of bring back Xander Bogaerts to loving the Boston baseball experience again. That's my hope because he's incredible and they absolutely cannot afford to lose the guy. That's how I feel about him. Whether or not he continues to play shortstop the rest of his career is a different discussion, but I want him on this team. I do. He's not even 30 years old yet. They need to keep this guy around. So that's just a side topic, but it's something that speaks to the culture here with the Red Sox because I just think they've got that thing. They do. Even if it does mean they've got some guys that come up and, again, are playing much better than what they typically would be.
That's what you need, though, in these seasons, right?
It has that 13 vibe to it.
The Shane Victorinos where you're like, wait, what? Yeah. Now, I wouldn't build around these guys long term like they tried to in 2013.
I wouldn't either.
Running back, but yeah.
I wouldn't either. But the Red Sox now are in a position where they legitimately can look at themselves and say, we can go for it here. And I think there's been a change in the way that they've discussed it internally there. Alex Cora publicly at the start of the year was tempering expectations, and now Alex Cora is changing his tune. And within the last week, he said that our expectation is to win the World Series. They weren't saying that in March.
Nope.
They are saying that now. That's a change. It's a marked change. And I'm wondering if that is Alex Cora speaking for himself and speaking for his players, or if Alex Cora is speaking for the entire organization when he says our expectation is to win the World Series. I hope it's the latter. I hope he is talking about Chaim Bloom. I hope he's talking about John Henry. I hope he's talking about their entire organization now feeling like we are not a perfect team, because again, they do have some flaws, but I think compared to the competition, there's no reasonable excuse to say you can't win it all, because I think they can. I think they could pull it off. I'm not saying they will.
No.
Or they should be a favorite, but I think they should be in the mix. if they get to the deadline and they improve the club. And there's apparently a lot of teams that are shopping right now. It's going to be a very tough deadline. It's probably going to require Chaim Bloom giving up one of his precious prospects to be able to do one of those deals. And this is where I think the rubber's going to meet the road with how do the Red Sox want to build themselves for the next 3, 4, 5 years? And are they going to be willing to give something up at the deadline to be able to make this team and give this team the shot that it legitimately deserves? And this is why I mix in the Bogarts thing. If you're Xander Bogarts, or you're any other player, really, for that matter, on this team, and you're feeling good about the year, but you know there could be some holes on the team that could be sort of plugged at the deadline, depth in the rotation. If the team does nothing at the deadline, how do you feel about it? And how does Bogarts feel about it? Because they've earned it. They've earned whatever tweaks and upgrades are necessary at the deadline. And even the best of teams do that at the deadline. The Red Sox themselves have done that at the deadline in years that they have won the World Series. They've made additions. If the Red Sox sit on the deadline and do nothing and take a pass, that would piss me off as a player. That would piss me off if I'm Xander Bogarts, because they've played to a point where they deserve it and they should. And Alex Cora has brought everybody back and gotten everybody on the same train, and they've got this great culture and they're a fun team and they play hard. They deserve it. So now what? Are the Red Sox in or are they out? We're going to find out in the coming weeks. But Alex Cora has brought this team back. The team is hot. And I got to talk about JD Martinez, because I've got something I've got to just admit to being wrong on, and we'll do that coming up. 617-779-0985. Your thoughts on the red-hot Red Sox to start the day. It's Zolak and Bertrand with Beadle and McCone today. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub. You want to talk sports in Boston, you talk to these guys.
Just going
to
say something quick. If you want to get everything, just go see Big Al and Reveal.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
High fly ball, well struck. That one's going to carry. That's a deep drive. Back it goes, and she's gone. J.D. Martinez with number 17. Red Sox on top, 2-0.
Okay, it's time to admit something about J.D. Martinez.
This is big.
Well, I thought the Red Sox would have been better off by now had J.D. Martinez opted out of his contract. And I will add this in, by the way. Okay? Ownership wanted this guy gone, too. Let's not forget that element of this. The Red Sox, organizationally speaking, wanted to make sure that they drop below the luxury tax threshold and do that in the 2020 offseason, which is what led to the trade of Mookie Betts. And their life would have been easier to save $20 million a year on J.D. Martinez if he opted out of the what would have then been the last 3 years of his deal. Okay. All right. That would have been easier for the Red Sox, and the Red Sox were probably hoping that that happened. That's what I think. Look at the deals that the Red Sox have since signed. How small they've been, how low risk they've been. None of the deals in Chaim Bloom's tenure represent the type of deal that J.D. Martinez is. And you could even say that when J.D. Martinez signed his 5-year, $110 million contract, that it was lower than what he had expected to get in the free agent market, right? Remember him thinking he was going to get a lot more and then settling to sign with the Red Sox? I did not think that in what is year four now of the deal that JD Martinez would still be worth it. I did not think that he would continue to play at this level. And I would like to say, along with the Red Sox ownership and Heim Bloom, that I was wrong. That in year four, he looks like he is worth every penny of his contract. And last year was a wash. He was terrible last year, but it was a short season. It didn't matter. And they didn't pay him out that, you know, in terms of real actual dollars. They didn't have to pay him anyway. They paid him a fraction of what he would typically earn. And so I don't know how you can look at it in year four and say that he has not been worth it in the three full seasons, including this one, that he has been a member of this team. He has lived up to the deal. He has earned his contract. And he's a big part of this team again. And so if you get four, if you get into year four of a five-year deal and the player still looks like he's worth it, it's hard to say that that was a bad signing. That was a good signing.
No, that's
fair. It's a good deal, and he's lived up to it, and that's credit to him, too.
I don't think he gets enough crap for last year. I mean, not being ready to go, despite it's a pandemic-shortened season,
is a joke.
Even me,
JD Martinez, you know, hater, if you will. I'm not a hater, but you know what I'm saying. Not thinking it was worth it. I'd give him a pass.
It's crazy, too, because he's got a little Garrett Richards in him in terms of some of the excuses that he tends to make. He even did it this past weekend when he talked about last year, saying, it's just a two-month sample size. It's not a real season. Like, I hate when people say stuff like that. But you're right. He's lived up to it. And this year, again, I mean, he's been dominant. And a key to the success, like you said, too, is the 3-4-5 hitters. And he's in the middle of that. So
huge part of that for this team. The other one I want to bring up at this point in time, because I can't give something back without taking a victory lap. It's just not, you know, within me. Nathan Eovaldi looks like he has been worth his contract. And I know that he was injured, and I know that he missed time on this contract. But you are seeing what has been the team's most consistent pitcher and best pitcher be worth his contract. And a lot of people didn't like that deal. I was not one of them. I am a firm believer in Nathan Eovaldi. Always have been. And he looks like he's worth it, too.
I can't wait for tonight. Eovaldi Ohtani.
Oh!
I thought I had a hot take about Ohtani. You shot me down with that.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
Give the world your hot take. Go ahead.
I think he's the best baseball player we've ever seen.
No kidding. Where have you been? Where have you been for the last 2 years, McCone? I've been telling the world this guy is Babe Ruth. People think I was joking in the beginning. I said, no, Babe Ruth is back.
Yeah.
And his name is Shohei Ohtani. And here he is, everyone. Let's assume Shohei Ohtani continues to play this way for the next 5 years. Okay, we'll just say 5 years. What, 27 yesterday?
Yeah.
Was his 27th birthday? Okay, so let's play this out. Until the age of 32, he is this player. He's the guy who goes out and pitches, wins games. He's the guy who hits and hits for
bombs,
power.
Yeah.
How is it that he will not win the MVP for the next 5 years straight if he's healthy?
No, he has to. It's like if Brady was also a stud middle linebacker.
There's no comp.
There isn't.
There's no comp for this. There is a comp. Babe Ruth. And that's not a joke. That's who this guy is. We have not seen this in a very, very... I've never seen it in my lifetime.
No,
you've
ridiculous.
Never seen it in yours.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone listening has seen anything like this in their lifetime, unless you are 110. You haven't seen this. You have not seen this type of player. He's that good. He's unbelievable. I love the guy. How do you not like this guy? This is a show. He is so good for baseball. So good for the sport.
Well, it just goes against everything we've kind of become used to, right? In terms of everything being specialized and this guy complete.
You know
outlier.
Why? Because he's not American. Because we specialize everything, right? Whereas culturally, it was more accepted for him to go out and be like, hey, I can pitch too. All right, go ahead.
I can throw 100 and I can hit bombs. Yeah.
Would they ever let someone who is born and raised here do what he does?
No, no shot.
No shot it would happen. And this should change people's minds about it. This should tell you, stop being so specialized. Stop develop yourself as a baseball player and not as a pitcher or not as a power hitter. Do both. If you want to be great, you can do both. He's unbelievable.
Best baseball player we've ever seen. It's crazy.
Awesome. And tonight, you see him against the Red Sox. Last start before the All-Star break. Shohei Ohtani, modern-day Babe Ruth. And he hits jacks. Oh, so good. Love this guy. Let's get to some of your calls on the Red Sox. 617-779-0985. John's in Dedham. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I just had a quick take on Cora. I think you actually do see what a manager can actually bring to a team. I mean, because he's made a huge difference But what my problem is, I mean, he's definitely going to be probably the manager of the year. But I think it still comes up in the conversation of him with the cheating scandal. I don't know how the baseball writers are going to allow that to happen necessarily. I don't know if that's going to make a point. And I also wanted to say, if you got, did you guys hear what happened to Martin Gonzalez the other day with the fan heckling him?
I'm sorry, who?
Marwin Gonzalez, our second baseman?
Yes. What about him?
Yeah. Why is that? That's the first time I've heard that since he's been here. I don't know if you guys have. I just want to wonder why it's finally coming, you know, to play him now. That's the first time I've ever seen him get heckled since he's been in the Red Sox.
I don't know. So he got heckled? What's the big deal?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not sure I follow. It's the first time he's been heckled as a member of the Red Sox. Well, the fans are back in the building now. And maybe it was just someone, I don't know. I don't understand. Am I missing something? He got pulled out of the game the other night, but he was due to an injury. Last night. I did hear Cora get heckled the other day. Did you hear that?
No, I missed that.
Loud and clear on the broadcast. Yeah. JP in North Providence. Hey, JP.
Beetle, Marathon McCone, day 5. Keep it up, pal. Good work. Quick point and question. Alex Cora, is he the best coach in Boston sports right now? Because I think he is, because if you say Belichick, he's going to go with Cam Newton, ruin the season. If you say Cassidy, he made the big mistake and going with Tuca. So I say right now it's Cora, and I give him manager of the year. I don't care what happened before. If they're letting him coach now, you got to ignore that and just give it to him.
Okay, I don't care who wins manager of the year. And I don't care if Alex Cora wins manager of the year. Who was the manager of the year last year? I don't know. I don't care. Who cares?
It wasn't Ron Renicki. I know that. So it has been an upgrade this year, but I'm with you. I don't care if he wins manager of the year or not.
Don't give a damn if he wins manager of the year. Stop pretending you care about that. You don't. You couldn't name the last 2 managers of the year. 3, you don't know. Who cares? Did Alex Cora win it in 2018? I have no idea.
No clue.
I have no idea. Did Terry Francona win it in 2004? I don't know. Maybe. I don't remember. I don't care. It's not something we care about. So stop. Everyone stop doing that. We do that with awards all the time. His first point is more interesting. Is he better than Belichick right now? Who relates better to younger players right now?
Yeah, Alex Cora.
Alex Cora.
Yeah, I guess it's Cora.
Who's better at establishing culture right now? I don't toss up. Alex Cora's doing a hell of a damn good job right now.
Who has better arms on their roster?
Let's just do this. Did Alex Cora have a bunch of guys leave his team, go to the worst franchise in the history of his sport, and then talk crap about the Red Sox and the bad culture they had there, or how it wasn't fun anymore, and how they just wanted to enjoy their sport again? Did that happen to Alex Cora, or did that happen to Bill Belichick?
That happened to Belichick.
It did.
Yeah.
And one of those players was the greatest player of all time. That would be like Shohei Ohtani leaving the Angels right now.
Because of Alex Cora?
What do you think is the worst team historically in the sport of baseball? I don't know the answer statistically, but just think of a franchise that everyone looks at. I would say the Rays, but they've had some success,
yeah,
so
right?
It's hard to do. It's hard to think of what's the worst franchise in baseball that a player could choose to go to?
Oh, man.
Well, Shohei Ohtani's going there tomorrow.
He's going to the Pirates.
And he's talking about how much he hated playing for the Angels. He's going to Pittsburgh. Yeah, historically, they've had some success, too, but still. Recently, not so much. Oh, my God. He's going to the White Sox. And telling the world how bad it was. Alex on the South Shore on Shohei Ohtani. Alex.
Yeah, it's on Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout. Easily number 1 and number 2 best players of our generation right now. And I just want to point out that how are they 4th in their division, only a .500 team? Those guys, with those 2 players on the team, they should be dominating their division in this entire sport. It should be everywhere.
That's not how it works, Alex. That's not how it works in baseball. It isn't. It never is.
I get it, and it's just mind-boggling that that's the case.
Look at the Mariners of the 90s.
Right.
They should, based on their roster, they should have won 5 World Series.
Yeah,
they never came close.
It's not basketball. Yeah.
It just isn't. It's not how it works. As I always steal this phrase from my friend Christopher Gasper. Christopher L. Gasper, formerly of the Boston Globe. You have to add that in because he's a former Globey. Formerly of the Boston Globe, currently of WCVB Channel 5. He says, baseball, it is an individual sport masquerading as a team sport. That's what he says. And he's right.
Yeah.
The individuals perform, and the individuals cannot impact the team the way a full roster of baseball players can. We're talking about why the Red Sox are good. And one of the big reasons they're good is three guys in the middle of the lineup,
right?
Not one in Mike Trout, but a combination of three guys. And we're talking about their bullpen. The bullpen. How often do you say, oh, that team's great because they have a great bullpen? Well, we're doing it with this team, but it speaks to being a great team in the standings and winning a lot of games goes well beyond one or two players.
Yeah, it's not adding LeBron James and all of a sudden
Yeah. All right, headlines here. We'll get more of your Red Sox thoughts. 617-779-0985. We've got other stories that have been going on. Everyone is talking about this sprinter in the Olympics who is not going to participate for the next 30 days due to smoking weed. I got a few thoughts on that story. That's been in the headlines. We'll continue talking Red Sox. All kinds of fun stuff to get to today here on Zolak and Bertrand. Go nowhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand. Sports talk in the middle of the day.
You know what's hilarious about it, Scott? I could act like I know what I'm talking about.
That's what we do every day.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Big story that's been going on all weekend, making headlines everywhere. Sha'Carri Richardson's positive test for marijuana is going to prevent her from being in the Olympics for what is 30 days from the date of her suspension, which means she will be eligible to do the relay, but not her signature event. She won't be able to be in the Olympics and win gold individually if she was able to do so. So she's being kept out for smoking marijuana. Oh, my God. This story is ridiculous. I mean, there's no other valid opinion on this story. There's no one standing up for the anti-doping agency in this, right? There's no other side?
Not exactly a performance-enhancing drug, no.
Have you read their rules? Have you read the way in which they twist themselves in their rule book into making marijuana against their rules for, again, the U.S. anti-doping agency? I mean, it's laughable how they twist themselves and just tie themselves into knots trying to defend in the most recent writings on it within the last 5 years or so. How to defend that rule. How to defend it. It's just so stupid. The entire thing is stupid.
Oh, it's done.
I can't believe that there are any sports left that want to enforce any rules on marijuana. It is moronic. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And I don't know that there's anyone else that, if there are, there's very few people that agree with this, that agree with what's going on. My question is this. Are they going to undo the suspension due to the pressure?
No.
Are they going to crack?
No, absolutely not.
Why not? Why won't they just crack? Why won't they just change it?
It is a dumb rule. You put anything on her, though? It's a dumb rule, but you'd clearly know what the rules are.
Well,
this was 5 years, right? You got 5 years to prepare for this one moment.
Here's what there's obviously some sensitivities here, because when you hear that someone learns from a reporter that their biological mother passed away, and the reaction was overwhelmingly, you know, negative to that. It was unnerving to find that out from a reporter saying that your biological mother passed away.
Generally not the way you
want to. That's not the way you want to find that out. And so I can understand why she felt the way that she did. But I do find it a little odd that that marijuana in this case is referred to as if it was like relapsing from an addiction to a far more powerful narcotic, if you will.
Right. Okay? And not the same category.
They're
as
just
what you
not
generally,
the same
no.
thing. So I do find that a little interesting. My thought is, have they been sweeping this under the rug and they told her to stop smoking weed and she just kept smoking? That just crossed my mind because I'm sort of mad at them for not just ignoring the positive test and be like, whatever. What are we doing here?
Right.
That has crossed my mind a little bit. So you test regularly as an athlete. You never smoke weed, but then you did all of a sudden? That's just, I don't know. I just wondered if they've been covering it up for a period of time and now they're not doing it anymore.
And it finally got to the point where like, we can't.
They're like, we can't. The Olympics is next month. You can't do that. Was there some of that going on? You know, you look back at Michael Phelps, when Michael Phelps got caught smoking weed, however many years ago it was. Do you remember when that came out?
It was a couple months after the Olympics.
Right after the Olympics. Yeah. Like, okay, we got through the Olympics, guys. All right, we're good. Like, we're clear. And then he tested, you know, positive or however it was that they decided to do that. Oh, no, he wasn't smoking during the Olympics. It was after the Olympics. It was right after the Olympics. It had nothing to do with the Olympics. Like, I do wonder. I wonder what goes on behind the scenes. But I'm just wondering if there's any defense of it. What's the defense? What are we doing here? And here's the other weird part of this. We all start caring about something that we otherwise would not be caring about. Track and field?
You don't check in on the 100-meter dash regularly?
No. Not unless there's some superstar famous athlete. I mean, the only time I can remember checking in on track and field was for Usain Bolt and for Michael Johnson in the 90s. Those are the two guys. Yeah. Those are the two guys I can name. Michael Johnson, Usain Bolt.
Those are the two guys everyone can name, by
the way.
Those
are my two guys. Yeah. I know them. Those guys are fast. I couldn't even tell you what events they run. I just remember they were fast.
Like, wow,
I can't even remember what it was that Phelps would swim, but he was fast too.
It's a good breakdown.
Him. Yeah. And then
Johnson, gold shoes.
Yeah. Oh, the best.
Looked good.
Yeah. Also, I think later was caught with PEDs, right?
I'm pretty sure, right?
He was a PED guy. Didn't ruin our enjoyment of watching him run, though. Let's see. I feel like
he did the PEDs after the Olympics.
I think there was at least an allegation. That's what I think was the case. I think there was an allegation of that. I cannot remember. But anyway, Michael Johnson, Usain Bolt, and then I can name the Michael Phelps. He's famous, right? These are sports that generally we don't ever think about. And that Lochte guy, Ryan
Lochte,
because he was an a-hole.
Yeah, and then made up the story in Brazil, right?
Right, because Ryan Lochte was the a-hole guy. Phelps was the other guy. Michael Johnson, Usain Bolt, and now we know a new name.
Yeah, Sha'Carri.
Sha'Carri Richardson. And I don't even know that she's going to run in her event, but we know her name. And we get all fired up over this because it seems so ludicrous and absurd that they're doing this. But, whatever. We'll get fired up over this. Let's go.
I mean, it is a really dumb rule. I just keep going back to, like, you got this. This comes up once every 4 years. You really couldn't stop smoking for 2 months leading up to the Olympics?
Well, here's my other question. So, under their rules, the way it's sort of described, can you drink? Can you drink under these rules? Because they're saying anything that is harmful to an athlete's health can be considered a banned substance. Well, that could be a lot of things. That could be smoking a cigarette. That could be having a cocktail.
Right.
That could be anything.
That's a really
Really broad. Yeah. Really broad. And so, I don't know. I mean, I just think it's so stupid. What a stupid rule that is. And who decides that it's 30 days? Is that set in stone? My understanding is it isn't. Phelps got 90 days. She got 30 days. What are the rules here
this
on this?
This is a Roger Goodell type
enforcement.
How about
we do 3 days? Can we do 3 days and have this be over with?
Yeah.
Can we have it be under review? We went back and reviewed. We actually decided it's a 10-day penalty, not a 30-day penalty. What is this? 617-779-0985. We'll pick that up on the other side. Your thoughts on that situation with the Olympics and Red Sox. We'll do it next.
Zo and the Beatles. 985, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sub.
Zoe and Beetle, working to keep you up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
you
know it if you smelled it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's get back to your calls on both the Red Sox and also Shakari Richardson. Scott's in New Hampshire today. Hi, Scott.
Hey, welcome back, Beetle.
Oh, thank you.
Great game last night. Let me tell you something. You know, when your 79-year-old father is typically in bed at 9 o'clock and he's watching the game way into the evening, it's just so much fun. One thing I'd like to point out that I think everyone is also missing is the great job that Christian Vasquez has been doing behind the plate with these pitchers. I think that was one of the main concerns of the Red Sox at the beginning of the season. And his defense has been unbelievable. A hit here, a steal there. I think he's underrated for the Sox. What do you think?
I think maybe he was underrated, but I think much like what you just described, I think people are coming around and realizing how good of a player he is.
Yeah.
And for all of these outfield assists and the plays at the plate, credit to him for making some of these plays. I mean, he's developed into a hell of a catcher.
Let me ask you this. So we talked about adding to this roster at the deadline. Alex Cora floated out the classic. We're going to be adding Chris Sale. No one's going to be able to add a player like that. Would that be good enough for you?
Blow that out your rear. McCullough, you and everybody
else hate it.
No, because Chris Sale, I don't believe that Chris Sale is going to come back and be able to do the full workload and do it at 100%. No, I feel there's going to be a transition period to getting him back up. And I know that obviously he's been rehabbing, he's been throwing, but he to me projects as coming back and providing some help out of the bullpen. I don't see him being
like a workhorse. Yeah,
I don't see. And in fact, I would say the Red Sox have reason to sort of take it slow with him, considering they just signed him to a giant deal and need him to be healthy for the years to come. They should not rush him back.
And he's broken down every single year that you've had him as well on
Correct.
Top of that. Yeah.
Correct. So throwing live batting practice is wonderful for Chris Sale over the weekend, but I don't think that they should be angling for him to be the starting rotation depth. And he obviously at his best is not depth. He's a frontline starter. He's an ace. I don't think that's something you can sort of count on. You should expect there to be setbacks. You should expect the timeline to possibly change. And that's okay. The guy suffered an injury. He needed surgery. And you've got to protect the player for the years to come that you want him pitching here. So, no. That should not be a consideration for the Red Sox at the deadline. That's not making a trade. That's not adding anything. That's not investing further in a roster that has earned it. Peter's in Maine. Hi, Peter.
Yeah, Beetle, you're spot on this morning. I mean, I can't, you know, say enough about the fact that you've arranged all these different topics and you've nailed them one after the other. A couple of things.
I'm a versatile host, Peter, you know?
Yeah.
Five tools.
the Cora culture at the Red Sox is just unimaginable. I mean, yes, we have younger players and the ups and downs of the season and, you know, are we going to get what we want out of the pitching staff? Those are the things, the variables that you got to live with. But for the most part, the core culture is just extremely well-performing. They have great chemistry. They're having fun. You know, the team is loose. I can't imagine a better setup.
Yeah, and you know what? I think Alex Cora, you can add him to the list of guys that deserve the front office investing in the team at the deadline. He's earned it too, as have his players. He's earned that. He shouldn't be spouting that crib we're getting Chris Sale back. Why is Alex Cora spending any of his time in advance of the deadline defending a lack of movement? That's silly to me if he's done that. Has he started to do that?
Yeah, so he mentioned Chris Sale being a nice addition last week.
I don't like that. Corporate suck-up Cora. I don't like that one bit. He deserves, like his entire roster, and I'm not asking for them to go out and get a superstar, but there deserves to be some investment in this team and this roster. They've earned that. Don't blow off the deadline. Don't sit on your hands at this deadline. Jordan's in Boston. Hi, Jordan. Oh, Jordan didn't want to go through with that. He got a little nervous there at the start. Jordan, you can call us back. Don't think it through. Maybe he wasn't ready yet.
Wasn't ready.
He had his takes, and then all of a sudden, the spotlight came on. Oh, damn it. He panicked. Keith in Bridgewater. Hey, Keith.
Yeah, good morning, guys. A couple of thoughts on the Red Sox. Everybody should be happy, excited about this team. You got two guys. We got five All-Stars. We got two guys, one Duran there from AAA, one from Portland, who are going to be playing on the USA baseball team. And then this coming Sunday, we got the fourth pick in the college draft. We're probably going to get one of the two top pitchers from Vanderbilt. So why wouldn't you be happy in the Red Sox? The future looks great. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, great, wonderful. Have we been negative on the Red Sox?
No, I'm not sure. I think it's been all positive.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they're. We haven't picked anything. We haven't picked anything on the Red Sox today. It has been a very positive Red Sox day here.
You were even pro JD Martinez over there.
I even said, look at the Red Sox. I said, look, the Red Sox were wrong to want JD Martinez to leave, as was I. Rich and Lynn. Hey, Rich.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Nathan Eovaldi. No one gives this guy enough credit. When our pitching staff was in shambles the last couple of years, Nathan Eovaldi has been the one guy that you can always rely on. And that signing is very underrated, and just of all the signs we've had the last couple of years. And also, like I said, they have to do something at deadline. Chris Sale, I don't even think can go. I think he's going to be a long-inning reliever or possibly the closer for this team going to the postseason. So that's all you can expect from Chris Sale. But they really need to go out there and get some sort of pitching depth and starting rotation, and also maybe another outfielder, because I feel like that's another weak point of the team.
Well, outfield recently has been pretty good.
Yeah.
But they need another starter.
I like that Eovaldi take, too. I haven't heard anyone that liked that signing prior to that call.
Damn it, you, McCone. Damn it, McCone. You do the rest of the show on your own. I'm out of here. I've had all these days off. Now I'm back. That's it. I want to leave again. I've had enough of dealing with this guy. McCone. What's going on in Providence? Anything big going on down there right now?
They got a new softball coach at URI.
Hey, you're right. They do.
Yeah.
That's big news. What else is going on down there? What's happening with the Providence Bruins?
Jay Leach out. Wow. Going to Seattle, assistant coach. That's a big loss.
Going to the Kraken.
Going to the Kraken.
Is that an expansion draft pick when they can poach coaches along the way, too?
They took him instead of DeBrusk. Yeah, exactly.
Leach, DeBrusk. Leach. We'll take the guy who's coaching now. That's what we'll do. We'll see that at, you know, 4, 5, 6. Well, how many newscasts a night do you do there?
Yeah, we do 5, 5:30, 6, 7, 10, 11.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a very full schedule there.
Full schedule.
The best. 617-779-0985. I love the Eovaldi signing. I've liked it from the very beginning. It has been an underrated signing. There's no doubt about that. I cannot give him, though, credit for pitching well last year, because I've sort of deleted last season, that shortened nonsensical season, from my mind.
You and JD Martinez both. Yeah,
but Eovaldi was good last year, so I would want to give him credit, but I'm not going to give it to him. I'm going to remain remarkably consistent on this. JD gets a pass. Eovaldi gets no credit.
I like it.
It hurts because my natural instincts are to give Eovaldi all the credit in the world and to slam JD Martinez, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to hold it against these guys. It doesn't count against their record. 617-779-0985. We've got a check of the headlines. 90 seconds. No commercials. We're back with hour number two.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
NBA Finals get underway tonight. You excited about Suns Bucks, McCone?
Not a lot of buzz. I'm a huge basketball guy. Not a lot of buzz for this series.
Why? Why is that?
Giannis, doubtful. Feels like both of these teams are here because they're the last ones standing. But it's in terms of injuries. But yeah, I'm not exactly hot and bothered by this.
It does sort of lack the big name that you want with Giannis being injured. It sort of lacks a little something.
It lacks a little something.
You know what lacks? LeBron. Let's just all say it. The NBA Finals is better when LeBron is in the finals. And this year he isn't.
Yeah.
Far from it. Far from the finals.
And this is kind of one of those things where it's what you thought you wanted until you got it in terms of two teams. Like, normally the NBA, I would say, out of any sport, you can kind of pencil in the finals before it even starts. This year, it didn't go that way.
There is only one player between these two teams that has played in an NBA Finals game before. Do you know who it is?
Jay Crowder?
It's Jay Crowder.
Best contract in basketball.
Jay Crowder, who played in six games with the Heat last year. Those are the only six games of NBA Finals experience between the two rosters.
Crazy.
So in terms of getting, there's always this too in the NBA. We always say there's no parity. There's no chance for teams to get there that don't have the LeBron or Anthony Davis. They can't get there. Well, here are two teams that are new to this. And a bunch of players who are new to this outside of Jay Crowder. Legend Jay Crowder. You've got nobody.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.